You know, I told some of my family that we knew my brother was critically ill. When we say critically, we know that we're speaking medically, and that when they say, well, there's nothing else we can do except pray, then that's when we really began to feel the presence of the Lord. We depend upon the doctors a lot, and that's, you know, that we have great, wonderful technology, things that we never thought about years ago about being able to accomplish. But we pray, and we put everything in the hands of our Lord. And when it comes down to the very last thing we can do, we must totally just consign ourselves to, this is what we must accept as the Lord's will. So when we think about that, I want us to be able this morning to focus our minds upon those thoughts. And, you know, we prayed for Sister Judy's friend that they would be healed, and she will be. My brother doesn't have cancer anymore. They're cancer-free. You know, cancer is only until... It can only touch you in this life, and God goes far beyond that. And sometimes it's very hard to accept the facts of the matter is that in this life we have troubles, we have trials, we have sickness, we have death, we have all of these things all around us, everywhere we go, and it becomes a reality check when you're sitting here before one of your loved ones, and the family is here weeping. A lot of times they do not think about this moment until it comes. But death is a very big issue in the world. Especially when you go out to the cemetery, and there where one old brother used to say, we take them out to the city of the dead. There's a lot of folks that's buried out there. But you know, a great blessing to me is to be able to look at those that are there and say, even this earthly tabernacle. And I would, you know, it says if we are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, it says we shall not go before them. We shall not prevent. That means go before them. But that means that we're going to be able to be alive and see them go up. You ever think about that? What a glorious thing that will be. This morning, I want to go back to where Brother Randy was last week and just maybe continue on some of the thoughts that he brought to our minds. He read to us out of Matthew chapter 22. And in the previous verses of that chapter, we have the Sadducees coming to the Lord. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and they came to the Lord with this statement. He said, well, what if this man had married this one woman this woman had all these husbands. I forget how it is. And anyway, she had all these husbands and they died and never raised up any children unto them. And finally, the last one died, and they said, who shall they be in the resurrection? In other words, which one of these is going to be married to the one? And Jesus says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. For in the resurrection, or in heaven, they neither marry or are they given in marriage. But they are didn't say they were angels, but they are as the angels. They don't die anymore. They don't reproduce anymore. They are neither male nor female. So we think about, well, does that mean that when we get to heaven, we're not going to know our loved ones? It doesn't mean that at all. But what it means is I have a wife here. I love her very dearly. Been married somewhere almost 50 years. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to love her a lot better than I did here on earth. There's not going to be any of the earthly ties that's going on. That the things that constrain us here in this world, there's not going to be any of those things. And we will love each other with a perfect love, as we sang in this song, the love of God. It goes beyond all that we as human beings can even mention. Then when the Lord, it says that he shut the mouths of the Sadducees, then we pick up in the language in Matthew 22 in verse 41. I'll read 41 through 46. When the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Now that statement perhaps would be something that each one of us could ponder in our mind from time to time. What do you think of Christ? And he goes on, he says, whose son is he? What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Now he's asking the Pharisees this question. Now, you understand that the Pharisees, they did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the one that was the Messiah of the Old Testament. They believed all of the Old Testament scriptures. But they did not believe that when Jesus came to the world, they were looking for perhaps a military Messiah, one that would come and take them out from under the Roman authority. They were not looking for one coming riding upon the foal of an ass. They were not looking for one that would come out of Nazareth. They said, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. So they rejected the very one that was sent to them. And the question is asked, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. You see, they knew what Psalms 89 said there about David. We look over there in Psalms 89 and it says that I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. So they said, whose son is he? They said, why, he's the son of David. Well, that is true, but that's not all that he is. And it says, it goes on in that psalm, it says, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. They knew this verse. They knew these scriptures. Therefore, they said they thought they were giving the correct answer. What think you of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said, well, he's the son of David. And we find even further in that, he said, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. They were looking for the physical, literal lineage, the humanity, if you please, of David to come. And he says, my covenant will I not break, neither alter the things going out of my mouth. Once I've sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as the faithful witness in heaven. So we see that the promise was unto David. And that so they answered the best they knew how. He is the son of David. Well, then Jesus reasoned with them out of another psalm. They liked Psalms 89, but what about Psalms 110? We'll turn over there to that, and I want you to think about the language of Psalms 110. Now, it goes on in Matthew 22. Verse 44, it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou unto on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He said, if he's the son of David, how doth David in the spirit call him Lord? Now, I'm going to get the exact wording of this psalm. I'm in Psalms 110. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now, if you look at, I've spoken to you about this before, but I want you to think about the word, the first word, the Lord. You see all capitals there, Brother Tom? That word, and it's different than the one that says, unto my Lord. This is the Lord, the Lord of Lords, the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. It's the very same one that said, I am that I am. He said, the Lord said, I want you to see three people in this verse. Here is the Lord, here is David's Lord, and David. There's three people there. But the one that's under consideration is not David, the son of Jesse, but it is the lineage of David upon which Jesus Christ came. We can go to Matthew 1, we can go to Luke chapter 3, and we can find the genealogy of Christ there, which comes out of the lineage of David, the tribe of Judah, all of these. But brethren, this is a wonderful thing that we can have this message here that David heard through the Spirit of God, the Father speaking to the Son. He said, "My Lord said unto my Lord." He is my Lord. The word Lord in this particular, in the first word, is Jehovah, which is the self-existent, all-powerful God. And then he said, "Unto my Lord," the word Lord, L-O-R-D, with the capital L, with the lowercase, is Adonai. That is the word master. He is the one who is the sovereign ruler. He is the one that David said, "The Lord, Jehovah God, said unto Adonai," or my master. The Lord said to my master, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." So when we think about the David, how it is that he heard this statement, we have here the Trinity being set forth in this very scripture. David, in the Spirit of God, heard God the Father speak to the Son, and God the Father said to the Son, "Son, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." So the question here is, first of all, when did he say this to him? When did David hear this? About 1,042 something years before Christ was born. So here David, in the Spirit of God, is hearing God the Father speak to the Son and say, "Son, sit on my right hand." Now, the question is, this was when this was said, but when did he actually fulfill this? When, if we look at this, then, and this is the question, if he's only the son of David, then how come David, David said, to my Lord, sit on my right hand, if he's just the son of David, then if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? That's the question. If David called him Lord, then how is he his son? You see, David was here speaking of the Lord of glory. There's so many places in the scriptures where we can find that the Father and the Son spoke to each other. Do we believe that there was a covenant made before the foundation of the world? Do we believe he said in the very beginning in Genesis 1, he said, let us make man in our image. Here we believe that the Trinity was present before the foundation of the world, and all of these things was made. There was a covenant made between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all of these things came together, and this is the fulfillment of these things. When we look at this, it says, "The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion." Out of Zion. Where's Zion? We sang marching to Zion this morning. "He shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion." This is the bride of Christ right here. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said he will send his strength out of it, out of Zion. Out of Zion. "Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." Now, can we understand that when David said in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. The rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy." The Lord, God the Father, said to the Son, "Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies." Notice the pronouns. The Lord said unto my Lord. That's David's Lord. And this is what he said. "Son," he could have said that. "Son, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Now, when's he going to do that? And first of all, when did he begin to do this? So when we look at, there's many scriptures that we can find this morning that shows us. One in particular, we look over in Mark chapter 16. This is at the end, but right before Jesus went up, right before Jesus ascended, he says there to them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, all these signs shall follow them that believe. And then at the last moment, he said, then after that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. Brother Randy spoke to us last Sunday about how that the apostles, they came, and as they went out, they went up to the Mount of Olives there, and they saw Jesus go up into heaven. They saw him ascend. He that descended is the same one that ascended. He went up. And the Spirit of God, the angel stood by and said, all you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus. It's not going to be a different one. And the whole point of all this is that there is a man sitting on the throne of God. There is a man in heaven, and his name is Jesus. This same Jesus that you see go up shall come again. And when did he begin to do that? He says right here, he was received up into heaven. And what did he do when he got there? He sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. So we see that when did he begin to sit? It was after he had fulfilled all that the law required. He came at the appointed time of the Father. I don't find any. And by the way, it's interesting to see in this. In verse 4, he said, the Lord has sworn. Now, remember, this is God the Father speaking to the Son. The Lord swore to the Son. And he said, I will not repent. Thou, Jesus, thou, the Son of God, art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we studied Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. But during the time of the Old Testament, there was never a time that I can find where that a priest was a king. Now, the priest came out of the lineage of Levi. They were all, Aaron came out, Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. They could not a king come out of that tribe. But we have one that came out of the tribe of Judah who was not only a king, but he was also a priest. So we find that we have a king priest, just like Melchizedek, sitting upon the right hand of the throne of God. We find that Jesus is the king priest. And what's he doing as a king? He's ruling and he's reigning on his throne. What's he doing as a priest? He's making intercession for us. He is giving us, he is our advocate. He is our mediator. He said there in 1 Timothy, there is one mediator. There is only one mediator between God and men. Jesus is sitting on God's throne as a priest, sitting there interceding for us as a priest and offering up sacrifices to God from a standpoint of our praises and all the things that we do. They come, and every prayer that we pray in the Spirit through the Son to the Father. He is our intercessor. He is sitting there upon God's throne. And when you think about, now notice, sit thou on my right hand. Now, how long is he going to sit there? You don't have to guess. It says, sit there until I make thine enemies my footstool. He's going to sit there. Now, there is a large group of Christendom that will tell you that he intended to do this. He intended to set a kingdom up. And he intended to come and to rule and reign literally upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. But because the Jews rejected him, he set up an interim, which is the church. Let me tell you, dear brothers and sisters, if Jesus is not, if he is not a king, then what's he done sitting on a throne? We're not waiting till he comes back again for him to become king. He is king now. He is reigning now. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is not waiting for us to accept him or to reject him. He is the King of kings, and he has all sovereign power. And it says, the Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. What is it, brothers and sisters, that is called in Romans chapter 1? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That God has sent and called his ministers to preach the power of God, and all that that he has done is to be proclaimed through and by the gospel of our Savior. And what a marvelous thing it is that God caused David to write this down. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on thy right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now I want to turn over. Brother Randy spoke last week on the out of the second or the first chapter of Acts. I want to turn over to the second chapter of Acts and read to you some verses out of that chapter. Now remember that the Pharisees, they said, whose son is he? They said, the son of David. Well, if he's the son of David, then David is the one that's on the throne, right? Well, that's what they thought. And that's why that they reject, one of the reasons they rejected him, because here is they killed this guy. And that's what Peter is here saying, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made the same one both Lord and what? Christ. He is Lord and he is the anointed. He is the Messiah of God. Now, I'll begin in just a little and read a little bit in Acts chapter 2. He says in verse 22, we'll begin. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by many miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Notice, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, by the determinate counsel of God. This was all according to God's plan, all according to God's purpose. He delivered him into the hands of these wicked men. Now notice, as he got, now this is the only way that you and I could go out to a cemetery and put our loved ones there and watch them be lowered into the ground. And walk away with joy. How can we do that? How can we possibly do that? Because he said, the same one that they crucified, God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden unto it. For David spake concerning him. Now notice, they are quoting David. He's here quoting David again. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Brother Randy quoted this last week. The word hell here means, it's the word Sheol, which means literally the grave. He said, thou shalt not leave my soul in the grave, and neither shall thy suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus did not decay. Jesus did not see rigor mortis. His body did not decay. It was only in the grave 3 days. But when it says, he said, you will not suffer that to happen. You will not permit that to happen. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now notice this. Listen very carefully. Men and brethren, let me speak to you freely. Let me freely speak unto you about the patriarch David. I want to tell you about David. You say he's the son of David. All right, let me speak to you about David. Now this is Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. That he is both dead and he's buried. Did David rise? Was David the one that was crucified? And that he is both dead and buried. And here's his sepulcher. We can go over there and find his sepulcher. Right here is his grave. And David, if we open this grave up, we'd find remains of David. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning, if we can go somewhere over there in what they term the Holy Land, if we can go over there and find the grave marked, here lies the Son of God, here is the King of Kings, here is the one that they crucified. If we could go there and find his grave, then we can give up today and just go home, because there is no more. There's nothing worth preaching for if we can find his grave. and him in it. You see, he's not here. Where is he? On the right hand. He is sitting at God's right hand today. What's he doing there? He's reigning as king. Now, and it says, and therefore, being a prophet, David, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, we just read you that out of Psalms 89, that he swore to David. He said, out of your loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. Where's David's throne? Is it in Jerusalem? Is it in Bethlehem? Where is David's throne? Let me tell you, Jesus is sitting on it. Now notice, this is the Apostle Peter confirming what we're talking about. He's seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, not a different one. And that's why when he went up, he said this, do you not understand that the same Jesus that you see go away shall come back in like manner? He went away in the clouds, and Brother Randy read to us last week how he's coming back in the clouds of glory. He's coming back the same way he went away. But it says, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted and receiving of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which we now see. For David is not ascended into heaven. So if he's the son of David, then where is David today? Over here in his grave. Then all of these promises are still in the future, aren't they? But David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. I've shown you in Matthew and also in Mark where it says that after he was crucified, he ascended and he sat down. There's several reasons perhaps that we can think that he sat down. First of all, he sat down because his work was finished. Everything that he came to do. There wasn't any chairs in the old law service tabernacle. But here he is a king priest. He is a king after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And so is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sitting at God's right hand, at the right hand. You say, well, why the right hand? Because the right hand is the place of honor. The right hand is the place of authority. The right hand is the place that is given where he rules. He talks about the right hand of God. Look up sometime. Just go and get your concordance and look up the term right hand and see how many times we find the right hand. It's a place of honor. Can I tell you this morning that you're going to one day be on the right hand? Can I tell you this morning that one day when Jesus comes back, he said, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the ones on the right hand. Those are the ones that he's going to say, come and inherit this kingdom. But when is he, how long is he going to reign there? Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if I can find where I want to be. Now, listen in verse 45. As it is written, the first man was made a living soul. This is first man Adam, that God created, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I'm in 15 and 45. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. But that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's you, every one of us. We're Adam multiplied. The second is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now then, those are the promises that we have. Now, the question was asked, how long is he going to reign? Now look in, I'm skip back into the previous, and look in verse, let's look at verse 17. If Christ be not risen, what about that? If Christ be not risen. Well, if first of all, if Christ be not risen, he's not on his throne, is he? Because when he began to sit and reign on his throne when he finished the work. And when God, he said, Son, sit on my right hand. Well, how long am I going to sit here, Father? Until I make your enemies your footstool. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep are in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, what? We're all men most miserable. I said this to my family. If we don't believe in the resurrection, then you're weeping. You will never stop weeping. Because we're in miserable conditions. But what I want you to understand that this gospel message is that every single one for whom Christ died is going to come when he says, come, my Father. But now notice verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. Every single one of us. When we come into this world, we're born in sin. We are born dead, unless we're perhaps, when we're conceived, David said, I was conceived in sin. We were brought forth in that condition. But when Jesus came, brothers and sisters, he came at the appointed time of the Father. And all the sins of all that was given him before the foundation of the world, the covenant that was made, was given to him. And he came and he bore in his body all the sins of all of his people. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, you might say, well, Brother Allen, that means every single one that was in Adam is the same ones that's in Christ. Well, if that's so, I wouldn't mind it if that's the way it is. But if every single one that's in Adam, in the first Adam, was in the second Adam, then every single one that was in the first Adam is going to be in glory. And we have universal salvation. But what I want you to see is he is showing here the first Adam was a figurehead. Everyone that was in Adam, the first Adam, died. Everyone that's in the second Adam lives. That's the point that he's making here. Everyone that's in Christ shall be made alive. Now notice, Brother Tom, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at when? At his coming. This is what the promise was, brothers and sisters, when he said, if I go away, I'll come again. What are you coming for? To receive you unto myself. That where I am, where is he? We know where he is. He's at God's right hand. So every single one, he said, every single one that I'm coming back for you. I'm coming for you. Do you believe that? I hope you believe that Jesus is coming back. And it says, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. He was the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then, what about this? Now remember, we're talking about a time frame when Christ shall sit on this mediatorial throne. He is sitting there as our mediator. He is sitting on this throne, in this mediatorial throne. He's sitting there making intercession for us. And how long is it going to be? Till I make your enemies my footstool. Your footstool. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down. All right, now listen. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, he must reign. Listen, he must reign till, T-I-L, or T-I-L-L. And David said until. He said he must reign till, how long? Till he had put all enemies under his feet. Well, how long is that going to be? It's going to be till the end of time, I'll tell you that. It's going to be when Jesus comes back. He's not going to come back again if there's any enemies left. That's my point. And every enemy of his, more than anything, he's going to destroy all of the wicked. The devil and all of his angels are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Every single one of those that are not those on the left hand. Do you understand that there's people that hate God, that hate Christ, that they're enemies of the gospel? Do you understand that those also are going to be destroyed? Notice he said, he's going to put down all rule and all authority and all power. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that every knee shall bow and every knee shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Even to those that do not believe in him, they will one day confess, yes, that was the Son of God. When he says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Every one of them will bow. Every single one will bow and say, yes, that was the Lord. Notice he said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death. No more death. No more sadness. No more tears. No more crying. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he hath saith unto all things are put under his feet, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Now notice, Brother Tom, I believe it's that when all things are shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, and that God may be all in all. Now what I want us to see is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all one. But right now, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God as the high priest, as the mediator. When the last enemy is conquered, we're not going to need a mediator when we get to heaven. We're not going to need somebody to intercede for us because we're going to be there. And so, Jesus is going to reign. And brothers and sisters, don't buy into this stuff out here that people are telling you that he's going to reign after he comes back 1,000 years and reign upon this earth 1,000 years. That's something somebody made up. Jesus is reigning now. He's king now. He's on the throne now. He's not waiting for somebody to accept him and to set up. He's not going to set up any kingdom over there. Brother, he's got a kingdom right here. And when the end comes, he's going to deliver up this kingdom to God. And every single enemy that shall be that is against him shall be conquered. Every single one shall bow their knee to him. Praise God for his wonderful message of salvation. We thank the Lord for your presence.